everybody across the land. Here's a special from Sequel Cast, though I don't know what it's gonna be about. Maybe Woody Allen, maybe Spike Lee, maybe Technicolor, maybe 3D, or maybe you just gotta wait and see. 'Cause you're gonna find out.
Hello and welcome to the Sequel Cast Special. The Sequel Cast Special is a podcast that looks at film topics at large. You can check out past episodes at sequelcast.com and check out other shows of the Sequel Cast Network, such as Sequel Cast, Sequel Commentary, and Video Game Sequel Cast. On this episode, we're talking about the career of Eddie Murphy. The last Sequel Cast Special we did was on Mike Myers, so we thought, why not do another one on a comedian? And look at good old Eddie Murphy. In fact, the first three episodes of the Sequel Cast podcast were on an Eddie Murphy trilogy of films, Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2, and 3. I'm Matt. With me is Thrasher.
Hello, everybody. I will bust out my Eddie Murphy laugh later when it's appropriate.
Eddie Murphy. One of the more successful Saturday Night Live actors.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Sarah about this earlier today, who you know, regular listeners will know is my longtime girlfriend, now my short-term fiance.
Congratulations.
Nuptials will be imminent soon. Anyway, we were talking about it, and I had just kind of offhandedly noted that Murphy's film career has more peaks and valleys than Sylvester Stallone's.
Hmm.
If you look at Eddie Murphy's film career, it's a real extreme sine wave between absolute mega hits and Hollywood disasters.
A Sequel Cast Special listener, Todd DeWitt, made that same sort of comment. He says, it's the curse of Eddie Murphy movies. He releases a hit and then a dud, followed by another hit and another dud.
Yeah, and sometimes the dud is like right on the tail of the hit. I remember, I mean, we'll probably go into more detail later, but like he had a kind of a beefed up cameo in Dreamgirls, which was so mind blowing that he was on the verge of getting a Best Supporting Actor Oscar nomination.
He got the nomination.
He did get the nomination.
Yeah.
Well. But he didn't get it, and it's believed that part of the reason is because immediately after Dreamgirls came out, Norbit came out. That movie is so terrible that a crackhead once tried to sell me a PlayStation portable disc of that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm totally serious. This was right after I had first moved to Kentucky. My friend Michelle was showing me some local places, was showing me a local burger joint called Tully Ho that's really popular with a lot of the college kids and medical students. And so we're eating there, and I'm enjoying an okay burger and a really good milkshake. And this woman could just out of nowhere comes up to our table with like this grocery bag full of those Sony PlayStation portable discs, and is like she's got like all the sort of mannerisms that make it seem like she's really jonesing for some sort of hard drug, and mm-hmm. she's really doing a hard sell trying to get me to buy her copy of Norbit.
Hmm.
And there's really two strikes against it, because it's a movie, it's a terrible movie I don't want to see, and also it's one of Sony's annoying formats that I don't have anything that reads, so I can't watch it anyway.
Right. Do you remember how much he was asking you for it?
Maybe $5 or $10, maybe? I don't quite remember. But when did you first become aware of Eddie Murphy as a performer?
Gee, when did I first become aware of Eddie Murphy? You know, I think the first movie I watched him in, I was too young to see the Saturday Night Live episodes he was on. But probably, I think I was in like fifth grade, and my dad rented 48 hours for the whole family to watch.
Huh.
with him and Nick Nolte. That was the first film he was in. And, yeah, I mean, shortly afterwards we watched, like, Beverly Hills Cop and some of the other ones. So, I think that's when, I think I first saw him in 48 Hours on Video in the early 90s.
Well, I know the first time I was ever consciously aware. It's funny you mention SNL because he was great on SNL during that kind of late 70s early 80s period. But the first time I was really aware of him, this was my whole extended family. We had rented this condo for a weekend in the summer, and we kind of wanted, and it's like getting late into the evening, the weather's bad. And we said, oh, well, the VCRs are new. Hey, let's put in a video. And there's this Best of Eddie Murphy video from SNL that we put in. Because, of course, everyone from my parents' generation is a huge SNL fan because they, watched it in the early days. Myself and my older cousins were just starting to discover that kind of comedy. So we put it in, and I think it opens with the hot tub sketch, which is just mind-blowingly brilliant. And then it goes into Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, which so horrifies our grandmother that we have to take the tape out.
Now, is this a tape that was just in the summer rental home?
I want to say one of us had rented it from a video place up the road.
Okay.
It's sadly it's no longer in business, but there used to be this awesome video place up the road in that part of Nag's Head where you could just walk out of there with 10 videos. They didn't care so long as they were back by the end of the week.
Huh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. But yeah, that's the first time I saw. Although I think the first movie I ever saw him in was Coming to America.
I take that back. That reminded me, I did see Eddie Murphy in Coming to America. And I would have been in second grade. And my dad rented it, and we watched it as a family. And I likely did not understand any of the jokes, really. But I would have been about, 7 years old, I think.
Well, the funny thing is, it's such a well-directed movie that, if you can get past, it works as a family movie, provided you can get past the whole blowjob thing at the beginning.
It is sort of weird that one's rated R, I guess, for some of the language, but
yeah, it really is. It's language, and I think it's all the sex that's right at the beginning that doesn't mm-hmm. resurface.
But why don't we go through his career chronologically? Talk about what we've seen.
All right.
And what we haven't, because there's quite a lot in his filmography. I mean, Eddie Murphy's made a lot more movies than Mike Myers.
Yeah, well, the man seems to be constantly working.
Although lately, not as much.
That's true. He's kind of after recent. I don't know what he's doing, but apparently, after some of the more recent bombs, he's really kind of slowed down production.
Yeah. So his film debut was in Saturday Night Live from 1980 to 1984, and while he was in SNL, he started being in a few movies. Like 48 Hours was his first film. Have you seen that?
I have, but it's been such a long time. I remember liking it. It was one of the kind of buddy cop films that handles that kind of cliched format very well. And Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte are probably, if you took Eddie Murphy into the antimatter universe, Nick Nolte would probably be his antimatter opposite.
Well, and the character of Nick Nolte, I remember in 48 Hours, is just really mean, too. I mean, it's not like they become friends right away. There's a real hostility between the two of them.
He's an irascible old cuss.
Yeah. And, I mean, the big scene in 48 Hours for me is they get Eddie Murphy's character is in jail, and they get him out of jail, and he's listening to Roxanne by the Police on his Walkman.
Roxanne!
Yeah, and he just sings it, and it's the only way Eddie Murphy can. And it's just very funny.
Sort of foreshadowing his recording career.
That's true. He did come out with a few albums. We can talk about that later, but yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Certainly. I, in fact, had one of his hit single, Party All the Time. I had that played at my wedding.
Oh, I remember that. 'Cause she likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. And when I heard that at your wedding, I absolutely knew that you put that in the rotation.
I did. I mean, that was very challenging, I think, to pick out songs for your wedding.
Although, if you don't mind the aside, Sarah and I have found an interesting solution. When we send out our wedding invitations, we're actually going to have a spot on the RSVP where you can request a song, and we'll go ahead and put that into the rotation.
Oh, that's neat.
Although that also means we can only invite people with impeccable musical taste.
Yeah, or I mean, also, like, how do you know if they're going to show up or not? I mean, you're going to start cutting out songs at the actual service?
Well, that's what the RSVP is for, although I would love that. I'm not attending your wedding, but you have to play this song at your wedding.
You have to play this one, yeah.
And then we were hit with Trading Places.
Yeah, I've never seen this film.
I have. It's actually a real fun kind of accidental Prince and the Pauper film where Dan Aykroyd plays this wealthy child of privilege that, due to sort of mishaps, ends up living on the street and everyone just thinks he's crazy. And then Eddie Murphy, who is like a guy from the street, ends up kind of, due to a bet that some billionaires make, ends up getting brought into this real upper class like world where they do all sorts of, you know, financial business and stock market stuff. And he applies like his street smarts kind of give him this instinctive ability to know what people really want and how badly they want it, and uses that to dominate the stock market. There's actually a really great scene where the two billionaires who were involved in this bet are debating about when they're going to sell their pork futures. And Eddie Murphy gives this whole great like speech about how it's Christmas time and you're trying to get stuff for your kids and they want a Nintendo, but you don't even know what a Nintendo is, and then all this stuff. And he's like, that's why you shouldn't sell. Wait 5 minutes. And then like 5 minutes later, like the price doubles and they make a ridiculous fortune. But it's a really nice moment.
It's the first of many collaborations between director John Landis and Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
So it's one of those I've always meant to check out. I need to make out time, sit down, and watch it. I understand it's an 80s comedy classic. I just never saw it for whatever reason. Eddie Murphy had a supporting part in a film, Best Defense.
With Dudley Moore.
I remember this box, but I've never seen this one.
I have never heard of it until now. I'm looking at the poster where it's Dudley Moore with a T-square holding up a sheet of grid paper that has a cartoon of Eddie Murphy in a tank.
I mean, it's directed by Willard Huyck, who also directed Howard the Duck.
So. like a strategic guest star, Eddie Murphy. And the worst tagline ever, unfortunately, they're both on our side.
Yeah.
I want to track this down. Maybe this will make a good sequel commentary.
Maybe. I understand it's not so good. After Best Defense, Eddie Murphy did Beverly Hills Cop, which we talked about on the very first episode. Well, me and Jason did, at least, on the very first episode of the sequel cast ever.
Yeah, that was the dawn of the sequel cast. And I wish I could have been a part of that. And I know we at one point had talked about maybe like re-reviewing that series as a special anniversary thing. But I was very pleased that we did get to do a sequel commentary later on.
On Beverly Hills Cop 3, right. That first Beverly Hills Cop, I think, is just about the perfect mix of comedy and action.
Yeah, and just Eddie Murphy gets to show a lot of, as Axel Foley gets to, you know, he gets to play a character with a level of personality befitting Eddie Murphy.
Right.
It probably is the part he was born to play.
Oh, and Bronson Pinchot is great as Surge.
Yeah, hello, Axel!
Yeah, and I keep on forgetting Paul Reiser has a small part in the first two Beverly Hills Cop films.
And of course, Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold, yeah. And John Ashton as Rosewood and Taggart. Sure. Just a real solid film. I think it holds up. And I just like the bit of trivia. Originally, it was meant as a Sylvester Stallone movie that then they had to heavily rewrite and I guess throw most of the script out, and most of it apparently is improvised.
Which, he plays it so loose, I can completely buy that.
Oh, sure.
But as I understand it, when it comes down to it, Eddie Murphy is a great improviser.
Mm-hmm.
Although this was from a documentary, although I think he had to be, because I remember seeing a documentary on SNL many, many years ago, and one of the things they talked about in the Eddie Murphy era was that Eddie Murphy was a really talented comedian, but he kind of had to improvise because apparently his like level of reading comprehension was kind of low, and he could not read the cue cards fast enough to keep up with the sketches. So he kind of had to learn to wing it.
Oh, really? Huh.
Now, again, that was at the time, you know, but it was just a detail that came up in the documentary. And then, of course, we got The Golden Child.
I've never seen this one either.
I've seen bits and pieces. It used to be WTVZ 33 back in Norfolk, Virginia. This was like in the late 80s or early 90s. This was just a perennial favorite on the late afternoon weekend movie on that channel. And I've probably seen the whole movie, just never in one sitting, just in chunks. There's kind of like Evil Dead 2 kind of special effects, and like it's Eddie Murphy in the middle of like a kind of a Hong Kong action movie.
I mean, the director of The Golden Child, Michael Ritchie, has done some really classic comedies like Fletch and the original Bad News Bears.
Yep.
So I've been meaning to check it out. I'm just not sure why I never did.
It's just kind of a weird mashup of Eddie Murphy comedy, detective story, Hong Kong action movie, Sue Horrock supernatural thriller. It's a dog's breakfast of a movie.
What do you mean by that?
It's just a whole bunch of things thrown together, and you got to hope it tastes good so you can keep it down.
There you go.
And it's certainly fun if you're into that.
Mm-hmm. After Golden Child, Eddie Murphy was in Beverly Hills Cop 2, reprising his role as Axel Foley.
Yep.
I never heard what you thought about this one, Thrasher.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen this one.
Really?
I think I've seen the first and the third.
So, I mean, the second one is directed by Tony Scott, who recently killed himself, sadly.
Unfortunately,
but,
yes.
It's certainly, I think, visually the most stylish looking out of all three Beverly Hills Cop movies. I think it just... I don't think it's funny enough. It sort of leans a lot more in this sort of like stylus action set pieces than the comedy, which is kind of a weird choice. Although you do have Bridget Nielsen as one of the main villains in it.
Oh, yeah.
Back before she was pretty in her sexy days. Did I say before she was pretty? That's not what I meant.
You did say before she was pretty.
Before she just kind of become crazy and been on the reality shows, the Flavor Flav and stuff. She's very hot in Beverly Hills Cop 2. And next
that was
is another collaboration with John Landis and Eddie Murphy, Coming to America.
And of course, that was also after his breakthrough comedy special, Raw.
Oh yeah, sure, the stand-up film.
Which is a great comedy special, but it's just so family unfriendly. I love it. But yes, as far as Coming to America, like I said, Coming to America, if you take out the sex at the beginning, it's actually a really good family comedy, and it's just such a simple story. A prince comes to America to find a princess, and I like they really take advantage of the culture clash. It's got an amazing cast with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall and James Earl Jones.
Well, I think this is the real first movie.
What's
too.
That?
Oh, it's like the first movie where Eddie Murphy is playing lots of different parts in makeup.
Yeah, it began that trend because you know he not only plays the prince, but he also plays he and Arsenio Hall also play these two old men that hang out in a barber shop, and Eddie Murphy plays this old Jewish man, and they just talk, and it's just them having old man conversations, and it is so true, you know. But what about Rocky Marciano? How come everybody got to bring up Rocky Marciano? And that whole bit at the end where he's telling that classic Jewish joke, you know, what's wrong with the soup? Taste the soup. But what's wrong with the soup, sir? Just taste the soup. It's such a great performance.
Yeah, I think the makeup's well done. And Arsenio Hall plays a few different parts in the film as well.
Yeah. And brilliant camera work it's brilliant direction by John Landis and just brilliant camera work throughout the film. There's this great scene where I think it gets revealed that Eddie Murphy's character is a prince, and the camera keeps switching back and forth between character POVs, and you see everybody's reaction shots. So well done.
It's definitely a film I'd like to revisit.
Yeah, and of course, oh, and Louis Anderson.
Must have been a small part he was in.
Well, it's more than a cameo. It's a small part, but it's more than a cameo. Like, he actually gets stuff to do. And I love that. I love that whole. There's just a lot of also comedy of specifics, because there's a whole running gag where Eddie Murphy needs, you know, he wants a good humble job, so he gets a job as a janitor at this independently owned fast food restaurant called McDowell's, and like everything that McDonald's. There's a whole scene where they break down everything that McDonald's has that McDowell's does differently, thereby making it a distinct entity. You know, they have the Golden Arches, we have the Golden Arcs. They have the Big Mac, we have the Big Mick. And I just love those specifics and the way they carry them through the film.
It is pretty enjoyable. Next is the only film that Eddie Murphy ever directed, Harlem Nights.
Yeah, with Richard Pryor and Red Fox right before he died.
Oh, yeah. I saw this, I rented it maybe 6 years ago, I think. And it's not that great. I mean, it's in that 1930s, like, gangster period.
Which is a period I absolutely love.
Or 1920s, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Partly, you know, because of I love Lovecraft and I love Dashiell Hammett. I'm really attracted to that period.
Have you seen this one?
I don't think I have, and yet it looks so familiar to me.
It's strange because it tries to be, like, parts of it are sort of serious and dashing and romantic, and then parts of it try to be funny. Like, I don't know if it ever nails what tone it's trying to be, but in the opening credits are like a really old 1930s movie with like white text and a black background with a piece of music playing in the background, like something you'd see out of a, looks like credits from a Woody Allen film or something.
Oh, music by jazz great Herbie Hancock.
Yeah. It's, I think it's sort of the start of a phase in Eddie Murphy's career where tonally he's trying to go for things that are more serious and less straight comedies.
Which I think is a very necessary phase in any you know comedian's career. I think you really do need that one dramatic role.
Mm-hmm. After this, he did a sequel, another 48 Hours, which reteams him with Nick Nolte. I have not seen this sequel.
I might have. I think I might have actually seen it. This probably would have been in 1991. I think I saw it on cable with my dad because he was a big fan of the original 48 Hours.
Do you remember anything about it? Or
I remember they were in a bus at some point, but that's all I remember.
Okay.
And I bet we're gonna get an email from a listener, and it's gonna turn out that I just remembered something from the first 48 Hours.
Yeah, or maybe it's not a bus. Maybe it's a truck. That could be. We get those corrections sometimes. And you can send us an email at sequelcast@gmail.com or post on a Facebook page at facebook.com/sequelcast. Now, I was talking about more serious stuff. These next two films I have not seen, but they're not straight comedies. I think they have like more romance in them. There's Boomerang.
Never seen it. Okay. I'm not even sure I've even heard of it until now.
And The Distinguished Gentleman.
Gentlemen, that is, oh gosh, I could swear I've seen this. This looks so familiar. I mean, the poster is brilliant.
Yeah,
with Eddie Murphy pulling money out of the out of the Capitol building like it's a cookie jar. That's just with that classic Eddie Murphy shit eating grin.
Oh yeah,
this looks so familiar, but I don't know if I've ever actually seen this.
The tagline said, from con man to congressman, but no, I have not seen either of those films, sadly, so neither of you, so we can't really talk about those.
Yeah.
But around this time, he did have a cameo in the Michael Jackson music video for Remember the Time.
Oh, yeah, where he's in the Egyptian headdress.
Egyptian setting, yeah. So, and then in 1994 came Beverly Hills Cop 3, which... We did a sequel cast and we did a sequel commentary on. Also directed by John Landis.
Definitely check out that commentary. We have a lot of fun trampling on that movie. It's not a good film.
No, it's not.
And the shame, is it probably could be like another one or two drafts of the script just to hone it and give it some focus. I think it could work because I think there's a lot of comedic potential for having Axel Foley trying to solve a case in the chaos of an amusement park.
Like, it's not much of a mystery. That's part of it. You don't have, you have Rosewood, but you don't have Taggart in there helping him.
Yeah, and you also, you know, you also have, you know, you're supposed to, there's the whole Uncle Dave character who's kind of a Walt Disney-like figure, but right. You don't really care about him because you've never heard of him. And, like, all of the characters that inhabit this the world he lives in, you don't really care about them either. I think the only way you could really care about those cartoon characters and their legacy within the film is if they had actually done an Uncle Dave cartoon as a short before Beverly Hills Cop 3, which actually would have been kind of fun.
Oh, something to sort of set up what the character was and...
Yeah, just to give us a reason to care about this world, you know, make it kind of come full circle. Also, I would just kind of love that kind of non sequitur if, like, you go in to see a new Beverly Hills Cop movie and then suddenly you're watching this cartoon. And Axel Fox can be there. Hell, why not? And I also have in my mind, there's an alternate universe where this did happen, and the Uncle Dave cartoon was more well-received than Beverly Hills Cop 3, and as a result, the studio did a series of Uncle Dave cartoons before several of its tentpole summer movies.
That could have been an interesting way to go with it.
Yep.
Have you seen this next film that he was in?
A Vampire in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
I saw part of it.
Okay.
And the circumstances under which I saw it were kind of weird. Without going into too much detail, a female friend of mine had a roommate that was kind of getting, like, I found out later, was actually threatening to get abusive, but the short of it is she didn't exactly feel safe there one night, so I came over to visit, and this was playing on the TV. And I remember there being a debate about whether Eddie Murphy's vampire powers were accurate.
I have seen this. This film is directed by Wes Craven, which is sort of a surprising choice. Again, it's trying to have Eddie Murphy in a more romantic part, kind of like Harlem Nights, but he plays multiple characters in this one as well.
He plays the vampire, the preacher, and guys called Paulie and Guido, who I don't remember. I do remember the preacher.
The preacher's name is Paulie.
Oh, never mind. I'm looking at the list wrong.
Yeah, and Angela Bassett is the female lead in this. It's, I don't know. It's not that scary. It's not that romantic. It's not that funny. Like, it tries to do a lot of things, and I don't think it really works
that well. I
kind of
want to see it because I pride myself on my exposure to obscure and not that good vampire films. I really ought to track this down.
Yeah, he goes for a Caribbean accent because he's a Caribbean vampire.
And that's cool.
The tagline says it all for all the different genres they were trying to do in this film: a comic tale of horror and seduction.
Yeah.
Vampire in Brooklyn. Like, who are you trying to appeal to?
Was this after Interview with the Vampire came
out?
It was
1 year after.
Oh, wow. I wonder if that got it fast-tracked into development.
That could have been, like, Eddie Murphy in a vampire picture. I mean, this one was a flop. This did not do very well.
And yet, I would actually really like to see a serious vampire movie with an African American lead. I think it's about damn time that happened. I mean, Blackula is good and all, but I want one that takes place outside of the realm of blaxploitation.
Right. I mean, it really isn't until the 90s where Eddie Murphy starts doing, like, a bunch of flops, and then you have, like, the hit every once in a while.
Well, because we're looking at that because, like, you know, we've got the flops of Beverly Hills Cop 3 and Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And then we go, bam, into The Nutty Professor, a movie that really remade his career.
You know, looking over this list, I'm surprised. I keep on forgetting how many different, like, franchises Eddie Murphy has been in. Because it's been quite a few, but yeah, Nutty Professor, which is a remake of a Jerry Lewis film.
A classic Jerry Lewis film, but I really, having seen both, this is one of the few remakes I really enjoy and one of the few remakes that I think honestly works and deserves to exist.
I've never seen the original with Jerry Lewis.
I don't know what you – I'm a Jerry Lewis fan. If you're not a Jerry Lewis fan, you probably won't like it, which is a shame because he turned such a brilliant performance as both the professor and Buddy Love. But I really like this Nutty Professor movie and just the effort that Eddie Murphy had to put into this movie, not only playing Professor Clump in the fat suit, but also suave, seductive, smooth Buddy Love, but also all of his relatives and the Richard Simmons character.
Right, right. You know, the director of this, Tom Shadyac, probably mispronouncing that, also directed Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Oh, yeah.
And did a lot of Jim Carrey films later on, like Liar Liar and Bruce Almighty.
So, but I don't know. What did you think of Eddie Murphy's Nutty Professor?
I like that it has a lot of heart, and the makeup for the Sherman Clump, the titular Nutty Professor, is just really well done. I think you feel sorry for him, and just you get a lot of fun scenes where Buddy Love and Sherman Clump face off.
Yeah, it's really well done. Amazing effects work and brilliant makeup work. I also love that, you know, it's about, you know, having a healthy body image and not taking shortcuts.
And Dave Chappelle has a small part in this.
Oh, is the insult comic?
The insult comic, yeah. So
who gets torn down? And you can tell in that scene, Dave Chappelle is giving it his all. You can tell in that scene he is channeling every terrible comic he has ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, you just feel uncomfortable watching that scene.
Rudy's going to have to talk about your mama.
But, you know, walking out of this movie, I thought, you know, that has the big scene where Eddie Murphy's playing most of the different family members of the Clumps, and I thought, oh, that'd be a great movie. That'd be a great sequel. Which is what they did a few years later. We're not quite
so that was
yet.
Your fault. If you hadn't made
fault,
that
if
wish.
I hadn't thought of that.
Well, you know what I liked? One thing I really liked about that is that the family scene with the Clumps, there's someone in my family that is reflected in each of those characters.
Huh.
I just thought that was just so truthful.
Tired of going to lame comic cons and sitting around with smelly, moldy comic book boxes and the odor of really creepy cosplayers? Well, you don't have to go there anymore. Connecticut Comic Con, with two A's, is back on August 24th, 2013, at the Marriott Hotel in Trumbull, Connecticut.
Join us at Connecticut Comic Con and be part of the coolest con in the entire Northeast.
Toys, collectibles, sci-fi, cosplay contests, all at Connecticut Comic Con!
Looking for that comic book to complete your collection? You'll find it at Connecticut Comic Con. Want a piece of original artwork to hang on the wall? You'll find it at Connecticut Comic Con.
Connecticut Comic Con, it is your destiny.
More details can be found at www.comiccon.com.
Connecticut Comic Con!
And then we got Metro.
Yeah, you talk about peaks and valley, you know. Bam, Nutty Professor, huge hit. Metro, not so much.
Well, as I understand it, isn't this just like a warmed over Beverly Hills Cop?
I understand that's the case, but I've never seen this one.
I recall seeing part of it on cable, and it was just cop bullshit.
That's it, just cop bullshit.
Yeah, just Eddie Murphy doing cop bullshit.
Hmm.
And also, I don't know if you noticed, but that the poster for that movie, he looks more like Richard Pryor than Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, he has like dreadlocks and everything, and yeah, it's kind of weird. It looks like. It almost looks like it was meant to be Beverly Hills Cop and they turned it into something else. I don't know.
I can totally buy that.
Yeah. But, again, you know, coming after the Nutty Professor, not a huge hit. And then, bam, he does a voice in Mulan.
Which is, Disney being, like, if you get in a Disney movie, you've kind of insured your immortality. But, yeah, he played Mushu the Dragon. And the Dragon. He really he's really trying to have a lot of fun in that performance, and he probably is having a lot of fun in that performance. And as fun as he is as Mushu, which, by the way, that's got to be the worst. What are we going to name this dragon
name?
I don't know. Yeah. Look at something on a Chinese food menu. But but he should probably maybe have a more dignified name. I don't know. But it's like any animated movie he's done since then, I feel like I'm only getting the most annoying parts of Mushu.
Yeah, I mean, it's very energetic, very high energy, but it's the same note throughout the entire film. In fact, originally, Eddie Murphy was offered the part in as the taxi cab in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That would have been pretty damn cool.
And he turned it down, and then he saw the movie, and he's like, oh, this movie is amazing. I gotta do whatever Disney offers me next. And so it was about 10 years later. Well, maybe a little bit less than 10 years, I guess, when they did Mulan, and he jumped on the chance and had a lot of fun doing the part of Mushu. And, man, in that Kingdom Hearts, I think Kingdom Hearts 2 video game on the PlayStation 2,
yeah,
there's a section where you go to the Mulan Disney area, and they don't use Eddie Murphy, but the sound-alike sounds so much like Eddie Murphy, it's just shocking.
Is it Charlie Murphy? Because as I understand it, Charlie Murphy has done sound-alike work for Eddie Murphy.
I don't know. I don't think it's Charlie Murphy, but it sounds so much like him, you could have fooled me. I mean, so this is Eddie Murphy doing some hits again. Mulan, of course, did well. It was a Disney film, and I think it had more of a sort of serious, more epic story than some other Disney stuff at the time.
Although it could have been better, but that's probably a discussion for another episode.
That's true. Dr. Doolittle. Again, another remake. I mean, very loose remake.
Yeah, I was very disturbed by the lack of push-me-pull-yous in this.
There's a lack of push-me-pull-yous. There's a... I recall in one of the books, Dr. Doolittle goes to Spain and complains about how terrible the bullfighting is.
Yeah, well, I think it's only called Dr. Doolittle because they need a recognizable title to pull in the audience. It's nothing. It's really not Dr. Doolittle. It's just Eddie Murphy is a veterinarian who can communicate with animals.
Right. I mean, it's not like the Hugh Lofty novel or the musical with Rex Harrison, although you have a cover of by Louis Armstrong of Talk with the Animals on the end credits, which was a nice touch.
Hmm.
I saw this in the theater with my grandma and my family on a summer vacation. And my grandma walks out and says, she wasn't joking, but it's a very funny comment in retrospect. She said, just the idea of humans talking to animals, that's such a clever idea. I've never heard of that before.
How? That's like the first idea.
Yeah, I know.
The first story you are told as a human is probably going to involve a human and an animal communicating.
Right, but... Well, here's the thing about Nutty Professor that actually came up in a conversation I had the other day.
Oh?
And we were just talking about the film. He thought he felt kind of misled. He thought Nutty Professor was a real family film, but he felt like some of the jokes were inappropriate.
Some of them are kind of
harsh.
He gets
skinny and says, oh, I can see my dick.
Expect, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's on the PG-13 edge of things. It's not completely like G-rated stuff. But I think that's sort of an interesting point. And he kind of, Eddie Murphy, his kids' films kind of aim at two audiences. But Dr. Doolittle I do not like as much as The Nutty Professor.
Well, as I understand it, isn't it mainly just a delivery system for cameos?
Have you seen it?
No, but all I remember from the trailer is that every animal was voiced by a famous person with a voice you were supposed to instantly recognize, like Norm MacDonald or Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, there is a lot of celebrity voices in there. I literally have not seen this film since it came out in theaters. I thought it was okay. Like, I didn't care about the characters as much as in Nutty Professor. It was just mainly a bunch of, like, slapstick animal gags and Eddie Murphy getting all nervous. I wouldn't mind watching it again, I guess, but it just was not...
Well, I mean, there were sequels. We could easily cover it in a future future saga in the sequel.
Yeah, there was
cast.
A theatrical sequel, and then they did a few direct-to-video ones. But after Dr. Doolittle was a... We get another couple of flops on there.
Yeah, Holy Man, did not see it.
I didn't see it either. I wanted to see it because Jeff Goldblum was in it, but is it Eddie Murphy is kind of like a con man again, or
what's that?
Isn't Eddie Murphy sort of like a con man, or he's just sort of a
he's like
evangelist?
Pretending to be a spiritual leader, I think.
Okay, I haven't seen it. I'd be kind of curious. I like Jeff Goldblum and Kelly Preston and everything, but this film was not a huge success. And, I mean, yeah, the name Holy Man doesn't cry out comedy.
But it could be a perfect understated title.
Yeah, it just didn't connect with audiences for whatever reason. The next one, Life, did okay. Wasn't a huge hit.
That's another one I did not see.
I did see this one. This one teamed up Eddie Murphy with Martin Lawrence. And I like how it tells the story of their whole kind of their life. You know, I think they start as like they might start as slaves or criminals or something that escape. Then they're in jail, and you get kind of an epic feel about their life. They're in old age makeup at the end of the film.
Oh, I heard something about that. Now it's kind of coming back to me.
No, I don't know why I thought they're slaves. No, they're not slaves, but it's they serve like over 50 years in jail, and there's a funny scene involving cornbread in it. Bernie Mac is in it. I thought it was good but not great. Like, with the team up of Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence, I expected it to have more to it.
Yeah, I guess I would have more to say if I had actually seen it. It's just if one that completely passed me by.
Does it look interesting at all to you, or?
Well, it kind of, like, I like the idea. I mean, you know, Eddie Murphy has done such good work in makeup that I would love to see a movie where he ages and goes through an entire life cycle. I would actually really like to see that.
Next was another, you know, team up of Eddie Murphy and another famous comedian, this time Steve Martin in Bowfinger.
Which I've heard is brilliant. Sadly, I've never seen it.
I saw this in the theater. Again, I thought it could have been funnier, but Eddie Murphy does a really good job of... Steve Martin was a writer on this, directed by Frank Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Murphy does a good job of playing a nerd character and then playing this kind of like suave Hollywood superstar.
Well, you know, he would play nerd characters on SNL, and it's kind of shocking it took him this long to really work that into a movie.
Right. I bet I'd like this more now that I'm older than I did at the time. I just thought it was going to be... The humor is a bit more like intellectual, I guess, and I was expecting more sort of slapstick going on. So Bowfinger did okay, not great. Like Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Oh yeah, this movie was hell on earth.
Why?
Have you seen this one?
I have. It's been a while. I remember there was a scene where a hamster gets giant and then rapes a
and
character.
Rapes guy. Isn't that funny?
I thought it was the highlight of the picture, but I haven't seen it in 10
sad
years.
Part. A guy getting raped by a giant hamster was the best part of this goddamn movie. Yeah, it's just, it's like, it feels like, it's one of those movies where it feels like every 15 minutes a new version of the script showed up that wasn't any better than the last version of the script.
The idea of focusing more on the clumps isn't bad, but, I mean, this is the story.
Well, there's way too much clumps shit, and it's just gets progressively disturbing. Like, you know, Eddie Murphy is the horny old grandma for a few gags in the first film. Quite funny. Eddie Murphy is the horny old grandma with prolonged scenes of her trying to have sex with a character who is her own grandson. Not funny.
Yeah.
Not even in a real absurdist way.
I have no desire to see Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps again.
It also does something that I hate it whenever this happens in any franchise. Because, you know, at the end of The Nutty Professor, there's kind of a nice little romance going on between Sherman Klump and Miss Purdy. And, of course, this movie, she's completely absent so that they can have another romance story with him and Janet Jackson.
Mm.
Who doesn't act. Just kind of floats around the stage, floats around in front of the camera like a pixie. Just bad jokes. They don't. like when they get to the notion that the professor that the professor and Buddy Love have split and are now two different people, they don't really have that premise. Should be a lot more fun than what is delivered in this film. The Star Wars nightmare sequence does not work at all. And just like, and even like the ending is just so forced and doesn't make sense. Like when the professor starts losing his intelligence, like I almost wanted to see Sherman Klump die at the end of this movie.
Wow.
I wanted it to have a surprise.
Pretty
dark
harsh.
And I'm not being sarcastic. I was, by the time this movie was over, I'm like, this character should be dead.
It took a character you love and made you hate him.
Yeah, it really is like this. The Klumps did everything you shouldn't do with a sequel, and then they managed to get a series on the Fox Network.
There was a Klumps TV series.
It didn't. It only lasted like half a season. It was a summer replacement series. But yeah, there was a Klumps. Well, there was an actual Klumps television series on the Fox Channel.
I didn't know that.
It is, well, it is justly forgotten.
Okay. Did you ever see the Eddie Murphy TV show, The PJs?
Yes, I did.
With the Will Vinton Studios animation?
Yeah, that was actually a really fun show.
I had friends that were into it in the time. I never saw much of it, but Eddie Murphy voiced the lead. It went on for two or three seasons, I think.
Yeah, well, it was like two seasons on the Fox Network and then at least one season on UPN.
Okay.
But it was actually very fun, very clever. I loved there, and just like, you know, they would sneak in like references to James Brown all the time, and there was like this one bit where he's like, where they're making Mom's Mobley references, and that just cracked me up because I think of the only person my age who knows who Mom's Mobley was.
We got a lot more of these Eddie Murphy films to get through in the next.
Yeah, let's blast through them.
Blast through the rest of them.
I'm sorry, not Mom's Mobley, Mom's Mabley. My fault. So yeah, then another mega hit, Shrek.
Shrek, yeah, another animated film. He voiced the donkey. Again, like he said, it's almost identical to the character of Mushu from Mulan.
And the only thing is like, and I really like Shrek, the first film.
The first one,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and one thing that I think actually works is that, you know, he plays an annoying animal sidekick, but that's what the character is supposed to be. He is supposed to be an annoying character, so all the annoying shtick he does actually works and serves the movie, because the movie is forever embracing the cliches of children's animated features while also trying to subvert them.
I worked at a movie theater in 2001, and Shrek was just crazy busy constantly. And although I'm a bit, I don't like that plot twist in Shrek where the princess is an ogre after all.
No, she's not an ogre. She's under a curse that turns her into an ogre.
Well, I don't know. It struck me as too convenient.
If you had paid attention in basic thaumaturgy back in college, you would understand the difference.
I'm sure I would have. Next was yet another sequel from Eddie Murphy, Dr. Dolittle 2.
Did not see it. I'm assuming it was more of the same.
I saw this. Yeah, it was more of the same. You had a lot of weird cameos, like Arnold Schwarzenegger does the voice of like a bear or something. It's, yeah, just if the first one was lazy, the sequel is even lazier. It takes place in the woods. A lot of log cabin stuff. Like, it's not, I didn't like the first one. I like the second one even less. It's not terrible. It's just really kind of slumming it. I don't know. Not one of my favorites. I never saw Showtime. That was the one with Eddie Murphy and Robert De Niro.
Neither did I, although this is a pairing I'd really like, that I really think I would like to see, at least in their heydays.
Yeah, it's,
Hey, William Shatner's in it.
As himself.
That's fucking brilliant. Actually, you know what? I think I saw this movie show up on an AV Club inventory about movie stealing commentaries. It was like brilliant cameos in terrible movies.
Okay.
And Shatner himself was one that got singled out. I like that. I might have to look at this if
I really like those actors. Next is perhaps the most infamous of all Eddie Murphy flops, The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Yeah, I have seen this. Have you?
No, I have not.
Terrible. It is
so bad about it?
Pardon?
What is so terrible about it?
Everything is just a miscalculation. Well, first and foremost, it's a science fiction comedy made by people who don't understand science fiction or comedy. It's like the science fiction parts were written by a comedy writer and the comedy parts were written by a science fiction writer, and they just don't work at all. Nothing makes sense. They just, like, it's – there's an embarrassment – as far as, like, the cast of this film, it's like an embarrassment of riches. Like, John Cleese is there. Luis Guzman is there. But no one is utilized to their full potential. And, like, the story kind of tries to go for a Philip K. Dick-style twist, which could work, except by the time it actually shows up, you've learned to hate this movie so much that it just it makes you more angry. Also, there's this bit, like, there's also just lots of really bad kind of, like, stereotypes that still apparently exist. It's not an enlightened future like Star Trek. It's like a future where all of our stereotypes just get thrown into sharp relief. But then the other thing in this film, it sat on the studio shelves for like 4 years.
Right.
And the first time I heard of this film was actually, I used to read Maxim magazine, and there used to be a section of that magazine of, like, you know, cool masculine stuff to buy. And there was a set of these, like, of billiard balls, which were like cratered meteors in, like, lucite spheres that looked really cool, and it mentioned that they were used as props in the upcoming Eddie Murphy movie, The Adventures of Pluto Nash, which is about a detective on the moon. So you know that'll be good.
Hmm.
Which, yeah, it's kind of exactly what we got. And the voice synthesizer thing they do on Randy Quaid is the most grating, annoying voice alteration I've ever heard.
They make him high-pitched?
No, they don't. They, like, it's like a weird kind of auto-tune, but it just ruins his voice. Makes it so hard to listen to.
Next was another Eddie Murphy film that didn't do so well. It was I, Spy, based on the TV show, but stars Eddie Murphy and Owen Wilson.
Did not see it.
And Malcolm McDowell was the bad guy. I did not see this one either.
Oh, the show had Bill Cosby, didn't it?
Yeah, the original TV show did. I didn't see either. I just thought from the trailer it looked really bland and kind of...
Oh no! I remember the series with Eddie, with Bill Cosby. I never saw the film.
I was going to say, but next you talk about we talked about some flops. But next was a hit for Eddie Murphy. It was the kids' comedy Daddy Daycare.
Never saw it. I remember being bombarded with the trailer all that.
Yeah,
summer.
The trailer seemed to be on everything. I never saw Daddy Daycare either.
So, do you think I noticed, because I remember they kept showing like a kid in a Flash costume. Do you think Marvel paid them to put a kid in a DC hero costume in this movie?
Why would Marvel pay them to do that?
To make DC look bad.
Oh, no, I don't. I do not. Next was, you know, it was around the time when Disney was doing some films based off their rides, and it was before they had a real big hit with Pirates of the Caribbean. In 2003, you had The Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah, which I think you can tell it's a bad movie when in the trailer, Jennifer Tilly's head in a crystal ball is delivering a prophecy, and a line of the prophecy is, "Find the key that must be found."
Have you seen this one?
No, and I'm glad I haven't.
I have not. I was mildly curious because I like the ride, but I never got around to seeing it. You want to talk about some of the other Eddie Murphy films he did after this one?
I guess so, although I think we're running out of ones I've seen.
Okay.
You know, of course, you know, Shrek 2, more of the same, only now Shrek has become what it used to satirize, which was animated film franchises. So the sequels just don't do it for me.
Well, in the sequel, I had the character of Puss in Boots in it, who later got his own film.
Yep. And he was the best thing in that film.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A few years later, he was in Dreamgirls, which we talked about at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty good movie musical, I think. And he's pretty good in it, but it's not a huge part, you're right.
Yeah, it is a big cameo, but one that he steals the show with.
We said Norbit.
And of course, Norbit is kind of like the implosion, the self-destruction of Eddie Murphy's need to act in makeup.
It just feels like something that would have come out in the 90s.
Yeah, he not only plays a woman in a fat suit, he also plays an old Asian man and a nerd.
Yeah, and the Asian man is extraordinarily stereotypical.
And the weird thing is like I've seen Eddie Murphy play women in other things, and he actually can do like a realistic sounding woman's voice, like when he plays the women in The Clumps. He sounds like he's doing a bad impression of Geraldine as Rasputia in Norbit.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, and it's something about the it's a weird concept for a movie, I think. Where this nerd is kind of in this abusive relationship. Just not very appealing, not so good. Shrek the Third, he's the donkey again. I think that might be my least favorite out of the Shrek movies. It just seems... The second one has some okay characters. The third one, it's just... There's kind of no point to it. You get Eric Idle as Merlin for like 2 minutes.
Which was cute. I mean, the man needs to eat and needs to produce his music. Then we've got Meet Dave, which just seems like such a bizarre premise for a movie. Okay, we got aliens, but they're tiny aliens, but they're in a spaceship. The spaceship looks like a guy, and they got to pilot the guy around.
I mean, isn't this the same thing as Interspace, kind of?
No, not at all.
Interspace
was about a person inside an actual person. Yes. These are about lots of aliens in a person-shaped spaceship for some reason.
I have not seen this one, did you?
No, like everything I saw looked so bad. I didn't feel like I would even want to watch this movie on a bet.
Again, these latest ones we've been talking about were a bunch of, apart from the Shrek movies, are mainly flopped, you know. Imagine That looked like a cute kids movie from the trailer. He plays a businessman, but his daughter has a real imagination that helps his find solutions to his problems.
Well, because the trailer, it was like the pictures that his daughter would draw would like predict the future of the business world, and he would use that to his advantage.
Yeah,
which is an interesting idea, but it's like a family comedy with this feels like the family movie that Adam Sandler turned down.
Right. That's a really good way of putting it. But the trailer, actually, out of the recent Eddie Murphy stuff, probably looks the most interesting to me, I guess, if I had to pick. Shrek 4 Ever After.
Never saw it. I'm done with the franchise at this point.
I think the plot is better than you might suspect, in that it's sort of like he wishes, you know, what if I had never met Fiona? What if I was never married? What if I was single again? What would my life be like? And it's this whole, like, alternate reality version of the Shrek universe.
Which is fun. It's fun to play around with the franchise at that point.
Yeah, if you're going to do, like, a fourth movie in a franchise, at least that's a somewhat novel idea. Tower Heist, I was mildly curious to see, but I haven't seen that one either.
Eddie Murphy's
a supporting part.
Lots of comedians' podcasts I listen to, they generally liked the movie. Normally that gets me to seek it out. I just haven't yet.
It's with Matthew Broderick and Ben Stiller.
Then we've got 1,000 Words, which is another Adam Sandler film. It seems like another Adam Sandler film Adam Sandler turned down.
Well, and 1,000 Words was delayed several years, too.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
But yeah, I think the concept looks okay. He gets this curse that he can only has 1,000 words left to speak.
Well, it's even more complicated than that because he's linked to a tree with 1,000 leaves and yes. A leaf falls down for every word. But right. Also, when the tree dies, he dies. So when all the leaves go away, that's it. He's dead.
Does it get serious then? I don't know. Like that sounds...
It's tonally... there's a how did this get made about it. Apparently, tonally, it's all over the place.
Okay. That just makes me kind of curious. Like the idea is sort of... It's kind of a weird, untraditional sort of idea.
And that's kind of the down point that his career is in right now. So he's due for another major hit.
Hey, Eddie Murphy has made a lot of money. He doesn't have to do shit if he doesn't want to. I mean, like, he had spent years and years trying to do Beverly Hills Cop 4, and a good script never came off the ground. And they decided, well, let's just do a Beverly Hills Cop TV show about Axel Foley's son, and Eddie Murphy would make cameos in it. You know, and they did a pilot that cost a lot of money, and CBS committed to a pilot, and then they saw the pilot, and they decided, we're not going to take this to series.
And apparently, looking at various websites, he's got a part in an upcoming movie called Triplets, but he's also apparently attached to the Hong Kong Phooey movie and a third Nutty Professor.
You know, I don't know that much about the Hong Kong Phooey movie. I saw there was like a concept test footage, but I don't know if that ever... But that was back from 2009.
Hmm.
So, like, that was something that was never made. I don't know if that's actually going to get made. Eddie Murphy did the voice in the little concept trailer.
Like, I like Hong Kong Phooey, but I don't know if I really want to see a movie of Hong Kong
Phooey. The concept
Phooey.
Trailer was toilet jokes. I'm not convinced that's actually going to be a full film. Triplets, they've talked about this one in the press a bit. It's a sequel to Twins, where Eddie Murphy and Danny DeVito are found to actually be triplets. And the third.
No, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. Oh, but yeah, the third one.
Who did I say?
You said Eddie Murphy and Danny DeVito.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Schwarzenegger.
But no, I've heard about this too.
And Eddie Murphy is the third one.
Didn't this happen simply because DeVito just kind of said, I wouldn't mind doing a second one at Comic-Con?
DeVito's talked about it over the years. I think Schwarzenegger really, really talked about it with Eddie Murphy being in it specifically. I think they're trying to write a script for it. Like, Schwarzenegger has a lot of stuff lined up, but we'll just have to see what happens. I'll believe it when a trailer or a poster actually comes out. But I think Eddie Murphy is tremendously talented. It just seems like he's been doing like a family film every few years that have been so-so. I don't think he's really done anything great since Dream Girls. I don't know. I think he's really talented. I'd love to see him do something great again.
Yeah, it's true. I'd like there to be another high point.
In that way, it's similar to Mike Myers.
Tying it all in.
We talked about in the last sequel cast special episode. In that, you know, they're both really talented actors, but they just haven't done something in a while. I think we've done a pretty good job covering the massive career of Eddie Murphy, even though we haven't seen a lot of the films.
With all its ups and downs. But hey, I take comfort in the fact that the ones we haven't seen are some of the worst.
Yeah, I'd like to be a completist. I don't know. We'll see. We talked about the Eddie Murphy's career, the ups, the downs, the downs, the downs, the downs.
The sides, the jagged side to sides.
The left, the rights, the ups, the downs, again. Yeah, but hope you like this episode of SequelCast Special. You can check out more over at SequelCast.com. If you like the show, donate at SequelCast.com/donate or check out the Facebook page at Facebook.com/SequelCast. On Twitter, I'm at SequelCast.
And I'm at Internet Mayor.
For a Sequel Cast Special, this is Matt.
And this is Thrasher saying...
And in the morning, I'm making waffles. That's from Shrek.
Good line.
Yes. Sequel Cast Special is a Hipster Goblin production.